We started the show talking college football, did some NFL. Now we get back to college. Corey McCartney, Fox Sports South, college football writer, Heisman voter. I know you do Braves baseball too, right, Corey?
Good season. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Host a show for Fox Sports South called Chopcast Live, and this is getting ready to head out to Vegas here. I don't really know if that's going to be work for the winter meetings in a couple weeks.
Yeah, it was a good, hell of a season by the Braves. I'd be curious to see how they follow it up this year. And what's a really interesting division because the Phillies are on the rise, and be curious to see what the Nats do. The Mets, you know, the Mets seem like a mess, but they still have that pitching. It's a really fascinating division. I'll be curious to see what the Braves do this offseason.
Yeah, and a lot of money to spend when you think about the Braves and the Phillies. And I think Machado or Harper feels like one of them is going to land in Philly, and then you've got a lot of money here to spend in Atlanta with some serious needs and catcher and corner outfielder and potentially starting pitcher. So it's going to be fascinating.
No doubt about it. All right, let's speaking of the baseball and college football, we've got Harvard Yale at Fenway Park today, and probably the game of the day, Syracuse and Notre Dame at Yankee Stadium. Let's start there because that's the game that involves a team in the college football playoff mix that's probably in the most danger, if you will. What kind of chance do you give Syracuse of pulling the upset against Notre Dame today?
Yeah, by the way, also a low-key version of those games is Kennesaw State is playing at SunTrust Park, the home of the Braves. So they've been
nice, setting
that up all week. So it's
that's cool.
Watch. But yeah, so yeah. Look, I think Syracuse, a real balanced offense. I've been a fan of Eric Dungy for a while and what they were able to do to the air at the beginning under Dino Babers. But now they're so balanced offensively. It's just so much more of a task, I think, for Notre Dame. But look, you've got a top seven offense in Syracuse. You've got a top 10 defense in Notre Dame. I mean, obviously, Ian Book's going to be back, so that's a major factor for the Irish. But, tempo is the key here for Syracuse, and I think that's going to be really fascinating to see how that plays in this environment. It may be a lot for those Orange players to handle, but they've got a lot of weapons. I think this is going to be a lot of fun to watch tonight.
Does Notre Dame have any chance of making the college football playoff if they don't go undefeated?
I don't see how, because look, then you don't overcome that 14th data point that Billy Hancock always talks about in terms of a conference championship. There's no way to overcome that with a loss, right? I mean, it just doesn't feel possible. It's undefeated or broke, I think, for the Irish.
Let me ask you this. This doomsday scenario has been brought up a lot, but if Michigan, Clemson, and Notre Dame win out and Georgia beats Alabama in the SEC championship game, who doesn't make it, you think?
That's a good question. I think you're going to have to go with those teams that have that 14th data point. I think if somehow Georgia winds up with it, I think you have to look at the potential that Alabama is going to get squeezed. And I know that sounds insane, but they just can't keep doing this to the other Power Five conferences and think that those conference commissioners and all those university presidents and athletic directors are going to be okay with them doing this to major conferences consistently. I think they're going to have to draw a line in the sand at some point.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say, I work in Buckeye country during the week. I'm in Cleveland, and a lot of Ohio State fans feel if they beat Michigan, they're still going to make the college football playoff. But I'm not convinced of that at all. Let's say Alabama, Clemson, and Notre Dame take care of business, and we're down to the fourth spot. If Oklahoma beats West Virginia twice, while Ohio State beats Michigan and then Northwestern, and even if you want to throw Washington State in the mix too, who do you think would get it in that scenario?
Yeah, I mean, I really think that feels like the Buckeyes are getting squeezed. And, I grew up in Buckeye country, and I know, how irrational the fan base can be sometimes. But this time I think it's going to be harder to overlook. If we're talking about, a Power Five conference not getting into the playoffs and somebody else getting left out, I don't think you can – and you're obviously going to upset people that way. I don't think you can keep going back to the well for Ohio State seasons with really, really bad losses.
Right.
I feel like it's okay to let them in. I think Oklahoma, to me – is a team that's going to end up getting in because we always say it doesn't matter when you lost, who you lost to, what win. I think both those things would be against Ohio State, and I think Oklahoma's a team in that situation.
What team, if you had to pick, what team would you give the best chance to be able to beat Alabama?
I know it's the easy answer, but I think it's Clemson. I think just the balance. I think what they have, and one of the more underrated running backs in the country, I think, is Travis Etienne. Lawrence is coming, really coming along. I think defensively, they're They've continued that product under Venables and just continue to be really strong up front defensively. I mean, it's the easy answer, but I think it's the right one because I think that's you have to Alabama to take them down, right? And I think that's the team that has the best capabilities of doing that.
Corey, we'll talk with Corey McCartney, Fox Sports South. I know you're a Heisman voter, Corey. Is there any argument against Tua right now?
I think the only argument you can make is look at these last two games in which he's not been himself, and they still ran roughshod over a really strong team. So they haven't needed him to win those games. But I think there's still the argument to be made. The 9 weeks before that, he transformed an Alabama offense it's going to be the most explosive that Saban's ever had in Tuscaloosa, and I think he's been a gigantic reason because of that. And it's, to me, that transformative reason that he's just undeniably the Heisman winner.
You know, Nick Saban said he's going to play Tua today. I'm curious how much he'll play. I mean, I think they're a 53.5-point favorite, something like that, over the Citadel. What do you make of that situation? Is he starting quarterback, so you play him, or is the game so one-sided that you don't?
Well, I think you would start him. I mean, I'm a Heisman historian, and there's only three guys who have won since World War II missing at least a game. So I know that's not something that most voters think of, but I try to tie it into, you know, a lot of historical stuff. And from that end, you got to play. You got to be out on the field. And I think even having him out there for a little while, I mean, I think it, of course, alleviates concern with Auburn still to play and then Georgia in the SEC championship game as well.
Corey, I'm a fan of going to an 8-team playoff and then playing the first round at the home sites of the top four seeds. What is your take on? I wouldn't want to go more than that. I wouldn't want to go to 16 or whatever. But I think 8 would be a great number. Do you like it as it is? Would you like 8? What's your thoughts on that subject?
I would love 8, and then have the higher seed host those first rounds. I had so the year before the playoff started, I had a lunch with Phil Hancock and talked about, how people were up in arms about it already being 4. And he told me the only way this gets pushed is not going to be from the presidents, not at least from the athletic directors. It's going to be from ESPN. So if ESPN wants more teams, and he said they will not expand, that's the one entity that can get them to expand is ESPN. So they've got to have, I think, big enough ratings in a 4-team playoff in a number of years to show that people want more. And I think that's where it ends up getting done. But I think it does need to be expanded.
Do you think, I've had a lot of people that know college football more than me say, UCF, they can't compete with these big boys. And, we saw them beat Auburn last year, but maybe Auburn, was down for not playing in a game that mattered more. Who knows? But if, I feel like some people have made it seem like, oh, it's so easy. They play a bad schedule. If it were so easy, why isn't any other of the non-Power 5 teams do as well as this team's done for 2 years? Do you think they could be competitive with some of the other teams in the top 10?
Yeah, I think they could. And I think it's unfortunate that the last 2 years they've had games against, Power 5 programs that have gotten canceled for one reason or another. And I think that's hurt them in that regard, too. And look, the fact of the matter is, they don't want to see – I mean, we saw Boise State in the past get games like Georgia and the Chick-fil-A kickoff game. But those opportunities don't always come around. And you can't always have it – read the tea leaves and know that your team's going to be in a position to take advantage of a matchup like that. So I don't envy UCF for having to be able to try to schedule Power 5 teams. And then when they don't work out and you either get a team that's down or not play the game at all, I mean, it's an unfortunate situation for them to prove themselves.
We're talking with Corey McCartney, Fox Sports South. Corey, when you look at the ahead a couple of weeks to, conference championships, because there's divisions and not, the Big 12 just does, top two teams, there's no divisions. So they're going to have a good championship game. The SEC, it's working out for them this year. But, because of the way the Big 10 is split up, that championship game is going to be terrible because Northwestern, same in the Pac-12, to some degree maybe in the ACC. Do you think all these conferences should just have one league and top two teams make it? Or is there something to be said for having divisions?
Well, I think it's something to be said for having divisions because it's kind of unfortunate. I think it's great drama, but to think that we're going to see Oklahoma and West Virginia potentially in two consecutive weeks, I mean, that's great from the end of the viewership, but I think it hurts the product a little bit where, maybe you diminish what it means the second time around, especially if it's a blowout in that first game. So, I just don't like the idea of teams playing each other in back-to-back weeks. And it'd be great if you could somehow always guarantee you have the best two teams from the conference facing off. It's just the reality of things when you are playing in a division situation.
On today's slate, not a lot of games, you know, matching up top 25 teams. We mentioned Syracuse, Notre Dame. There are two other matchups of top 25 teams, although, and one of them is UCF against Cincinnati, the other Iowa State and Texas. Who do you like in those games?
I like UCF. I mean, I think this is an interesting matchup, though, because Cincinnati is so good defensively. I think it's just because UCF's gotten in situations in their last three games where they've needed second-half comebacks in order to get the win. So I think this could be a time where maybe that bites them, but I think they get enough done. They're just so offensively just so explosive. And, look, Texas, they continue to show a clutch gene with Sam Ellinger. So I think I like them a little bit more. Iowa State's been on the rise, and that's a team we know has put together a nice season. But Texas kind of team to go with ebb and flow is that I think they get that one done.
Do you see any path to the playoffs for Washington State?
No, I don't. And it's unfortunate because Gardner Minshew has just been so much fun to watch. You know, with 188 more passes than anyone has attempted in the country right now. He's been a great story. It's just that what's the nugget for them? Washington's just, been a bit of a letdown, and there's obviously no help coming in the Pac-12 championship game. I think it would just take immense chaos in front of them for it to happen.
What quarterback in college football right now a quarterback that's going to be in this NFL draft that you think will be the best NFL player? And what quarterback period? Like, is it Tua? Is he the best? Is he going to be a great NFL? There's no lefty quarterbacks in the NFL right now. What do you make?
I really like Justin Herbert from Oregon. I know there's been talk of him coming back, but I wouldn't be surprised if he bolts. I really like his makeup. He's obviously not been given quite the explosive Oregon offense that we've been used to in the past, but I think he's got great makeup. Tua, to me, is going to be really interesting. I know they're not the same player, but I think you kind of watch the way that Russell Wilson is used, or even the way that Baker Mayfield is, and think that Tua has a really strong future as the game sort of becomes much more of a mirror of college football.
Did you think Baker Mayfield was going to be a good pro?
I didn't, and I have a lot of buddies back in Cleveland that were beside themselves on draft night texting me, couldn't believe that that's who they went with, number one, but I love his attitude. I love his swagger. I think college football, NFL needs more of that brought into it. And I think it's only for the benefit of all of us watching that someone like that does have success when they bring that kind of swagger to things.
I'm curious. This situation seems so stupid, and I think they've buried the hatchet now. But this whole Ed Oliver situation in Houston with the Jets. Why would it seems like such a stupid rule? Just have enough jackets for everybody. What's the problem here?
It is ridiculous, isn't
it?
I mean. Yeah, I'm sure, it's just a matter of, okay, well, these are the rules, and if you let one guy break the rule, then everyone's going to think that they should. But I just think it's weird because you could never imagine an NFL coach having that same conversation with a player. It's just the father figure aspect of college football to me is it started to wear away, I think, when we're getting away from, a lot of these more paternal figure characters in the game being out of it, the Bowdens and all these guys that have left in the past 10 years. I think we're getting more towards the player coach, and I don't think you can have those same kind of rules and be able to get these kids to come play for you.
But I think it's also an interesting angle of this is that Major Applewhite in his post-game presser said something about if Ed Oliver plays, kind of maybe insinuating that he could play. We know about what's going on with Nick Bosa. If I were an advisor to any of these guys that are going to be top picks, I would tell them not to play, frankly, and not risk it. But, this is a trend we're starting to see a little more of. Do you think it's going to continue to grow?
Yeah, I think so. And look, I think we really could have seen this, a few years ago. When you think about, what's his name, South Carolina, the defensive end.
Clowney.
Clowney could have done this himself. He could have sat out the entire year and still been picked when he was. But I think guys are much smarter. I think they, it's not necessarily about, pride in the program. This is not just to their detriment, but it's not so much about, continuing legacies of a program as it is to securing your future. And I think the guys are much smarter than they were. They realize the money that's on the table, the small amount of time you have to make it. I don't begrudge any of them for thinking about going that route.
Are the four teams that are in the college football playoff today going to be the four teams that are in it when we get to it?
I think so. I think it's not sexy, but I think they are. I think Michigan has just made serious strides. I think Shea Patterson's made serious strides. I think Jim Harbaugh's finally going to get that win over the Buckeyes, and I think we're going to see status quo.
Man, if they don't beat the Buckeyes this year, it's never going to happen, right? I mean, you can't lose this game.
No, everyone in Michigan will burn their khakis if they don't get that one.
Corey, appreciate the time, man. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
All right, Corey McCartney, Fox Sports South.